Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Hotline, a WCW recap podcast. My name is TJ. I'm your host. And today we are covering the WCW Nitro live from Dayton, Ohio, back on October 30th, 1995. This was the episode that came on right after Halloween Havoc. Now, as you heard, there was a whole lot going on in Halloween Havoc, and we will get into that a little bit towards the end of the show. But right now, we're just going to go and jump right into the podcast, right into the episode of Nitro. First up, they open the show and they're talking to Bischoff, to Bobby Heenan, and to Mongo McMichael like they always do. And of course, just like always, I have to sit there and complain about how Pepe is there and how he's dressed, or she's dressed, or whatever. It's a little witch this time. And it looked, I don't get the dog thing. I've complained about it before in other episodes. I'm going to continue to complain about it on future episodes. I know it. But this dog is just annoying. It's weird. I don't get it. I wish Mongo will just finally get rid of it. But anyway, they're kind of talking. They're welcoming people to Nitro. And they say that Macho Man Randy Savage, who was supposed to compete tonight against Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman, is actually injured. So we'll be having a substitution for that first match, which leads us right into it. It's going to be Craig Pittman taking on Eddie Guerrero. Now, this match was pretty much one of those to show how good Pittman was, like to kind of get him over, I'm assuming, on the fans, let them realize, hey, this guy actually is a legit tough guy. He's a good wrestler, blah, 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 all that stuff. And in order to do that, you put him in the ring with a guy like Eddie Guerrero, because Eddie can make a star out of anybody. Even back in 95, he was able to do that. So they have a pretty decent match. Pittman's kind of doing the big man thing and immediately goes for an amateur wrestling style takedown. They kind of tussle back and forth. Pittman eventually slams him. They get back to their feet. Eddie slams Pittman back. And then Pittman's like, oh, okay, we're playing like this, and starts just wailing on Eddie. Starts punching him, starts working over the arm, gets very aggressive. But while he's doing this, you can tell he's very, like, he isn't fully formed. He's very green, if you will. Where, like, the punches aren't quite hitting the way they should. Pittman just seemed very out of it in this match. Like, he's had other matches we've seen, and he looked okay. But in this match, he seemed extremely out of it. It was very weird. Meanwhile, Eddie is trying his hardest to just, like, not die for a couple of these things. Because you can see the frustration on his face. Because Pittman's, like, out of step, or he's missing something, or I don't know, they just weren't in sync. These two guys just were not in sync. The match wasn't very good. Eventually, later on, Eddie ends up hitting a huge crossbody, or springboard crossbody, should I say. Kind of hit like a back elbow on Pittman. Pittman backs up, jumps off the top rope, turns around, boom! Hits Pitbull for two, and they get back up, they wrestle around a bit. Pittman threw Eddie Guerrero into the ring, goes for a clothesline, or into the ropes, I'm sorry. Pittman goes for a clothesline. Eddie ends up countering that, somehow gets up on his back and rolls him up for a three count and gets the win. Big upset victory, as they were saying. I was surprised by it. I thought Pittman was going to go over. I know they were trying to, or I'm assuming they were trying to get Pittman up to be like a bigger name, a bigger star, not realizing Eddie Guerrero is the star at the moment, like in the undercard. Eddie was the man. Still is. But yeah, Eddie Guerrero with the win over Craig, or Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman. All right, up next they had a recap of the Shark and Scott Norton feud that's, I guess, kind of brewing up. And we talked about this last on, I think, two episodes ago, on the last Nitro episode, where this feud started back on, I think, the second episode of Nitro, when it was Norton versus Macho Man and Shark interfered and kind of cost Norton the match. And how they kind of fought about it at backstage, and then nothing came of it whatsoever. They didn't mention it again on Nitro. They didn't mention it at the pay-per-views. They did nothing. In fact, I don't even think they showed Scott Norton up until the last Nitro episode, episode 9, where I guess they finally got into it again backstage, and they're like, screw it, we'll finally have a match that's been brewing for about a month and a half now, which I don't get why they just kind of let the steam fall out of this one, because I had forgotten about it until, like I said, last time, the last Nitro episode. But anyway, as they're talking about that, they realized that Bobby Heenan had left the announce booth. He just disappeared. They went to commercial break. They come back. He's gone. So no idea where Bobby Bobby Heenan is. But anyway, we cut to the next match, which is Shark versus Scott Norton. And these two guys did exactly what you think. They did big guy stuff. They did big man stuff. They just slapped and punched and kicked and clubbed the crap out of each other. Shark ends up coming out super hot right off the bat. Hits Norton with a big old belly to belly. Kind of lays him out for a bit. Hits him with a huge elbow, like one of the jumping elbow drops. Laid him out. Gets a two count. They get back up. They're kind of tussling a little bit. Norton ends up hitting two big clotheslines, but Shark won't fall down. I was going to say the big man, but they're both big men. Shark just wouldn't go down. Norton ends up going up to the top rope and doing like a shoulder tackle and hits Shark. Shark just kind of stumbles up, gets into the corner, but does not leave his feet. After that, Norton ends up grabbing Shark, big body slam, goes for the pin, only a two count. Big guys get back up. They're punching. They're beating each other. And then a double clothesline. Both big guys are out on the mat. Referee starts his count. Then they cut away. And there's Bobby Heenan sitting at a very nice catered table with all these beautiful women around him talking to Sonny Ono. And I'm not sure if they've mentioned or brought up Sonny Ono yet. I don't think they have. But Sonny Ono is a wrestling manager based out of Japan. And I love him. I think he's a great manager. So him and Sonny Ono and Bobby Heenan, they're talking. They're kind of, it sounds like they're trying to make some kind of deal. Like Bobby Heenan's trying to recruit Sonny Ono. And Ono says like, okay, okay. And gives Bobby Heenan an envelope, presumably full of money. Bobby Heenan's like, oh, domo arigato. And very, like, thank you, thank you, thank you. They toast. Bobby Heenan puts the envelope in his shirt, and then they cut back to the ring. And at this time, the guys that are already outside the ring, I don't know really what happened, because they just didn't do the picture-in-picture thing. They just completely said, screw this match. Let's talk about these two wrestling managers talking. And the two big guys are out of the ring. They're beating the crap out of each other, and ends up being a double countout as they fight all the way to the backstage area. The match was fun. I like it because I like big men doing big men things. So for me, great match. I would have liked to see a winner, like to see some kind of conclusion, but double count out. Hopefully we get something maybe in a couple, knowing the way they're doing this feud, in a month and a half, we'll get another big match between them and hopefully get a winner. I doubt it though. Up next, we had Tony Schiavone in the ring after a commercial break, and they started talking about what happened last night with Ric Flair turning on Sting and recreating the Four Horsemen with Flair, Arn, and Brian Pillman. Well, that brings the Horsemen out, and they're sitting there talking, and nothing of substance was really said. They kind of made fun of Sting, or Arn gave Sting credit for going out there and fighting two of the Horsemen for 10 minutes, but again, when the Horsemen are going to do Horsemen things, that's just what's going to happen. He was a victim of circumstance, was all it was. Pillman was Pillman. And Ric Flair was Ric Flair, just kind of doing the, hey, we're the Horsemen, we're back, there's three of us now, there will be four soon, don't you worry, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. As we go to commercial break again, they start saying that the footage from last night's Halloween Havoc is indeed coming, don't worry, all that kind of stuff. All right, with that said, we are going to go and jump into our first commercial break, or our only commercial break, should I say. We'll be right back with the third and fourth matches of the night, including your main event, which sees the American Males taking on Ming and Lex Luger.
Hey, gang, have you heard the latest?
Hey, humanoids, wake up.
It's the Brain on the Hotline.
And I've got it all right here.
Call the biggest names in wrestling on the WCW Hotline.
And I'm going to tell you things you won't believe.
What we can't say on TV, you can hear on the Hotline. Call right now the WCW Hotline. 1-900-909-9900. Calls cost 99 cents per minute. Kids get parents' permission to call. Charges will appear on parents' phone bill.
All right, we are back. And our next match was, it was a fun one, I'm not going to lie. We had Sabu taking on the Disco Inferno. Now, on paper, this seems like a terrible idea. Just two completely polar opposite characters, fighting styles, all this stuff. It should be a really bad, ugly match. And it was. Well, I don't want to say it was a bad match. The match was entertaining. It was fun. There's some great stuff that happened in it. But I don't know if they had heat. I don't know if they just flat out don't like each other. But something happens in this match where the two guys were just like, nope. And they started like kind of really slugging it out while trying to quote unquote be professional. Because it was bad, man. Like, match kicks off, Sabu does Sabu stuff and he comes in hot as he always does. Hits a couple big springboard moves, including the leg lariat and a crossbody and all that stuff. Gets a two count. Disco, I don't know what happened. It was like right here, Disco goes to like grab his hair and throw him. But Sabu does like a weird bump or whatever, and it looked very weird. And I think it was that moment where they both got like really, really pissed off at each other. And Disco ends up picking up Sabu again by his hair. Like, has like two handfuls of hair right by the temples. And it just does throws him. Just completely throws him across the ring. And Sabu's like, okay. And Disco starts kind of beating on him. Starts, takes advantage. He's like, all right, we're going to get back into it. Maybe Sabu messed up. Got his receipt. Move on with the match. And then Sabu's like, oh, hell no. And he just jumps up after one move and just cold clocks. Like, huge clothesline on Disco, which I don't think he saw it coming. Just took him down. And after that, they started throwing hands. I think Sabu connected with one of them because he hit it. And you heard that pop of a fist hitting the jaw. Like, it sounded ugly. And Sabu even went like, kind of like grabbed his fist out of like instinct. Just like, son of a bitch. Like, it looked like he really clocked him, man. But these two just beat the crap out of each other. Like, they were not in sync. Again, I don't know what's going on. The Pittman and Eddie match, they were out of sync because of how green Pittman was. Whereas with this match, they weren't on the same page beginning, and it was very apparent. I mean, it looked good watching it because it was like, oh, these two guys don't like each other and they're beating the crap out of each other. That's awesome. That's what you want in a match. But this wasn't that. This was, these two guys are legitimately mad at each other and they're not really trying to protect or sell or make the other look good. They're just trying to get over, trying to make themselves look good first and foremost. Well, anyway, they end up going out to the Sabu ends up knocking him down and hits like his little flipping leg drop from the apron into the ring, gets the three count. Sabu wins, he's kind of celebrating, grabs Disco Inferno, throws him out of the ring, and then jumps over the top, does like a cross, not even a crossbody, like a flipping, it looked like it was supposed to be a hurricanrana, I guess, but he landed on Disco's shoulder instead. And they're both out there, and they're showing Disco, and he's kind of like, he slowly gets up, he starts dancing around the ring, but Sabu's nowhere to be found. Next thing you know, Sabu comes running out and hits Disco in the face with the table, sets up the table, puts Disco on there, and is like, yo, he's going to do what he always does and flip out of the ring onto Disco, who's in the table, and put him through it. We've seen it a bunch of times. Today was no exception. Sets him up, Sabu's in the ring, flips out, Disco jumps out of the way, just rolls off the table, whatever. Sabu hits the table and it does not break. It barely bends. It is one of the nastiest sounding like splats with Sabu's back hitting that table. Even Bobby Heenan was like, yo, was that the table or his back? Like, it was ugly. And Sabu kind of looks at the camera and you can see his face is just like, oh, son. Like, he was in so much pain. It wasn't even funny. Like, he hit it and then he just kind of rolls off and he's trying to move, but he's like super hurt. Meanwhile, Disco said, screw this, and took off for the backstage area. He's out. He's gone. And yeah, that was the end of the match. They cut to commercial. And yeah, like I said, decent match, kind of fun to watch, but just something was off. Something just was not right between these two guys. And unfortunately, this ended up being Sabu's last match here in WCW. So we won't be able to see him again, which kind of sucks because I like Sabu. But what are you going to do, right? All right, up next we have our main event of the evening. We have Ming and Lex Luger with the Dungeon of Doom's Kevin Sullivan and Jimmy Hart accompanying them, taking on the American Males, the owners of probably the lamest theme song in the history of wrestling theme songs. This song is terrible. The American Males, American Males. It is so bad. And I love a good, bad theme song. I really do. The three-count theme song you'll hear in WCW later, like a couple years from now, is great. There's a bunch of the Billy and Chuck from WWE. There's a lot of really bad theme songs that I like, that I really, I enjoy. They're like ironically enjoy them and stuff like that. This American Male song is terrible. It is so boring. The guys come out looking like a couple of dorks. They're wearing their zoot suits, but the vests, and they're kind of matching, but not really. Like, one's wearing black boots, one's wearing white boots. They come out, they just look like a couple of just dorks. Just flat out models turned wrestler dorks. They're great wrestlers. Don't get me wrong. Marcus Bagwell and Scotty Riggs are phenomenal wrestlers. They're very underrated in my opinion, especially Riggs. But these guys, just this American Male's gimmick was just so dorky, so just lame in my opinion. And that theme song was the worst. But anyway, get in the ring, and it's going to be Ming and Riggs starting off, and they lock up, and they're kind of going back and forth, and then commercial break. Instantly a commercial break, 3 seconds into the match. I hate commercial breaks during matches in general, but if you're going to do it, don't do it right when it starts, because then when we come back, I'm like, oh, I have no idea who's fighting anymore, because I forget. I forget who's in the ring every time. So cutting it that bad, it was bad. There's no hype for the match. You get in there, you're already mid-match. It's boring. So that's kind of what suffered here. When they came back, it was Riggs kind of working over Lex Luger. They were working on Luger's left arm, which is smart because that's where some of the power is for the torture rack. And they're tagging in and out really quick. It'd be like an arm bar tag off the top rope, hit the arm, repeat. And they're just kind of doing that for a while. Eventually, I'm trying to remember how it happened. The referee ends up getting somewhat distracted. Ming just ran into the ring. He ends up grabbing, I think it was Riggs. It was Riggs. Hits him with an atomic drop. Lex Luger goes off, hits him with a clothesline immediately after. It kind of looked like the Hart Foundation's heart attack from WWF back in like the 80s and early 90s. But a little bit, like, it wasn't as cool looking. It was just an atomic drop into a clothesline. It looked cool, don't get me wrong, but yeah. It worked. They end up getting a 2 count off of that. Ming's in the ring. He starts working, and they're working on Riggs big time. They're just beating the crap out of him. Bagwell's trying to get that tag. And then for whatever reason, I don't understand, Ming decides, I want to do a flipping senton onto Riggs. So he jumps, does a flip, quote-unquote, and goes to land on Riggs. Ming almost lands right on his forehead. He is a big dude trying to do a front flip. And I'm not saying he can't. I'm sure he could do it today if I asked him to. Or if he needed to. But I don't understand why he's even attempting something like that. Does it look cool? Of course. Big man doing front flips. Awesome. But, Ming. My man Ming. Don't do it. Just because you can't doesn't mean you should. And you really couldn't. You didn't get the height you needed. You definitely didn't get the rotation you needed. It looked so ugly. Like, I got worried. And you could tell when he hits the mat, and he kind of lands on like the upper part of his shoulders or high back and shoulder area. When he hits, he has this look on, oh, thank God. Like, he instantly regretted it the second he started to jump. Like, I thought he was going to go for a splash. I was like, all right, cool. Big man doing a splash. Makes total sense. Then why would you flip? And almost like, it made me so mad. So unbelievably mad seeing him do that. But anyway, like I said, Riggs got out of the way. He makes a tag to Bagwell. And Bagwell goes in there. Right before he makes a tag, Ming gets the tag over to Luger. So Luger comes in. In comes Bagwell, the fresh man. And Bagwell just goes off on Luger. Hits him with a bunch of punches, bunch of clotheslines, a huge back body drop, a beautiful drop kick. Like, Bagwell is just tearing it up. And he goes over there and he punches Ming for literally no reason. I don't know why. Tries to go back on there on Luger, starts working on him. Jimmy Hart jumps up and distracts the referee. And while Hart has the referee distracted, Ming comes back in the ring, gives a hell of a kick to Scotty Riggs, lays him out of the ring, then turns around and kicks Bagwell right in the back of the head. He's out. Jimmy Hart jumps back down. The referee turns around, sees Bagwell down. Luger picks him up, torture rack, match is over. The Dungeon of Dooms, Ming and Lex Luger win the match. Fun match, The American males looked good, even though they're dorks. Ming and Luger looked like Ming and Luger. Ming doing front flips for no damn reason. That was the worst part of the whole match. But it was a fun match. Good main event. The crowd was hot. They really enjoyed it. After the match was over, they go to commercial break and they say, the footage is here. Do they? I think they went to commercial break. Either way, they say the footage is here. They show the footage of last night with Jimmy Hart turning his back on Hulk Hogan. They showed Yeti and the Giant doing the group hug, whatever, to Hogan and all that kind of stuff. They cut back and they interview the Giant's in there with the belt on, with Kevin Sullivan and Luger and Jimmy Hart. They're all there. And they ask, Tony Schiavone asked Jimmy Hart, hey, why did you do what you did? Hart flat out says, Hogan is the past, Lex Luger is the future, and the Giant is the future, so I'm going with them. No time, we can't be holding on to the past type of thing. They talk to the Giant. Giant's like, yeah, it's my belt. I'm the top of the hill, or no one's going to knock me down, or some crap. It was all nonsense from the Giant. I mean, his promo skills were not great at that time. They still really aren't, but he just kind of just did his thing. While he's sitting there talking about how Hogan got beat up, Kevin Sullivan drops on the ground and starts mimicking what Hogan looked like last night as he was like kind of convulsing on the side. That part was pretty funny. He looked just like him. It was great. But Giant said he'll defend the belt next week on Nitro against anybody. He doesn't care. It could be Savage. It could be Hogan. It could be whoever. So we'll see what happens next week with that. And overall, I know this is kind of a short episode of the podcast, but there really wasn't a whole lot that went on this episode. It was just kind of recapping what happened and some kind of filler matches. It wasn't the best episode of Nitro. It was kind of boring because, again, there's no real substance to it. But, yeah, that was it. Next week will be Nitro from, I think they said, Jacksonville, Florida. I guess it's going to be a more interactive one where fans can vote on who fights who based on the two locker rooms, red and blue. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be kind of weird. I know that like DDP and the Horsemen and Big Bubba Rogers are in one corner or locker room, and the other one has like Savage and Sting and possibly Hogan and the American Males and all these guys. It'll be kind of split up pretty well. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm hoping they do something else with Norton and the Shark. I want to see those two guys go at it again. And that'll do it for me today. So thank you guys so much for listening again. Sorry that it's a bit of a shorter episode than normal. And we will definitely catch you guys soon. Again, I know it's been kind of a sporadic podcast as of late as opposed to every Monday like I want to release them. But I had some personal issues to go with. I'm just going to say that. Feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at WCW Hotline Pod. Reach out to us on Instagram at WCW Hotline Pod. We will see you guys next time. So until then, thank you so much for checking out the hotline. And see you next week. Bye, guys.